kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Usual, we come for our fellowship and sharing of the word, praise God. And as usual, I've got a title for us to consider today, and we're calling this teaching, God Has a Remnant Unto Himself. God has a remnant unto himself. We know through our teachings over the years that if God doesn't call from the foundation of the world, he will not have a people unto himself. And this is why God has a remnant. And we've seen right through history from the time of the fall of Adam and Eve that God has taken the initiative in which to touch man. And God has a remnant to himself, and he even has a remnant this day, this hour, this moment to himself around the world. And there are those who have responded to God's word, because as the word says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And let us start off with this in Isaiah 46, verses 12 to 13, Isaiah 46 and verses 12 to 13. And here he speaks about in the last days when he will restore again, when the Lord comes to rule and reign on the earth, which is not far away. He says, listen to me, you stubborn hearted who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion. That can also mean the church. For Israel, my glory. So God says, in the last days of restoration, he's going to place salvation again. For what? For his glory. And so it is God who draws us for his glory. And thank God he has a remnant to himself, else none of us would be saved. So he's preserved. He preserves this remnant and he continues to work to preserve all that he's created, all the heavens and the earth. Everything is preserved for his glory, so that he has a remnant. And Israel is preserved. Even though she's in rebellion at the moment, Israel will be restored. That is a remnant that will come out of the great tribulation. This is why God elects and calls from the foundation of the world. Remember that God loved you and I first. It wasn't in us to follow God. It's not in our interest unless he touches our life. And so we know if we're called, we know if we're elected, because we remain faithful to God, to his word, to what he calls us to and for. They are the signs that we've been chosen from the foundation of the world. Now, what does the book of Joel tell us? This is a lovely book, a little book here. But this is what's happening now in the last days that we're living in. In Joel 2, chapter 2 and verse 32, listen again how he speaks of a remnant that he has to himself. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And that is what he's doing. He's working deliverance now within us. As the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And there is the sovereign work of God, whom the Lord calls. This is why it is so awesome that God called us before we were even in our mother's womb. That is his remnant that he has right down through the generations. And so we have seen, haven't we, that through God's word, God has preserved a remnant for himself. God preserved a remnant for himself through Adam, through Eve, when they fell into sin. He preserved a remnant, Noah and his family, who were saved. Abraham and his descendants that God said he would bless him with, a remnant. Moses raised up to bring a nation out of bondage, again, a remnant. We could just go on with Joshua, Caleb, Samuel, David, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the minor prophets, Daniel, his three companions, John the Baptist, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the disciples, Timothy, Paul, the early church, all is a sign of God's remnant. And God today, now this moment, has a remnant to himself. And that is why our faith is so vital to be worked on, to believe and to trust God. You either know that you are part of God's remnant or you're not. How do you know? Because flesh and blood doesn't reveal it. It comes by the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that reveals these things to us. And that's why we can give him all the praise and all the glory and thank him that I'm a part of his remnant, his family that's chosen in Christ Jesus. Is that not worth praising and worshipping and thanking God? It's all for God's glory. Your salvation, your calling, even this very meeting and this very word that God speaks to us is all for his glory. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 2 and verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Note what it says in verse 10. That is the miraculous work of salvation, being born again, made a new creation. For it says we are his workmanship. And there, of course, we get the great idea of the potter and the clay. He's working, molding, he's creating us what? In his image. For what purpose? For good works. Today, meeting today, what we're doing is all part of good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in. So isn't it wonderful that everything that's being worked out in your life for God's glory was prepared before the foundation of the earth? What God is doing in you and me always has been in God's mind and heart. That's what he means there. And it means when it's good works, it means that what you do, what you say, how you treat people, how you come over, that's what it means by those good works. Loving our neighbour, embracing our enemy is all part of these good works, which God says he's prepared all of that beforehand, that we should what? Walk in them. So do you know that your walk, my walk, is prepared before the foundation of the earth? This is why your walk is not a mistake. This is why we take each day by faith. And God leads and guides and directs our path. Yes, even if we've fallen short or we have sinned, God is still in control. And he allows that to happen, to work something within your heart. And this is why I say we can so confidently say that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, on one side of the coin, you cannot go wrong in this. On the other side, we have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling, because that's where God also makes us responsible. Why? Because we have a free will, which God has given us. And we can use that free will for the glory of God, or we can use that free will that is going to damn us. This is why I say so sadly that those that will end up in hell chose to go there, because God has given us a conscience. We're made in the image of Almighty God. He has placed himself in man. And some respond and some don't. But look what he says here, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ. So don't come against what God is doing. You may not understand what he's creating and working within you. But one thing we do know is he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And sometimes he does permit us to go through the fiery furnaces. But you have one great thing to look forward to. You will come forth purified as gold. That is the promise. So you see, God is completely sovereign. He has everything under complete control. You see, God also reveals through history. He reveals the experience of his remnant, because that's what we're talking about, that God has a remnant unto himself, even to this day, this moment. And that's why we look at the history of God's people, the history of Israel. Did you know that the Bible is also a history book? And it tells and it shows us how God preserves and keeps his remnant, how he brings his saints through the fire, through the trials and the tribulations. Couldn't be done in the natural, but he does. It's all there to encourage us and show us what he's doing. We see, don't we, in the nation of Israel, that there is a spiritual remnant. God has got a remnant in Israel even now, today, set apart to himself. And we know that when the great tribulation comes, Israel will go through purification again. And a remnant will be saved to go through into the millennium. Not all Israel will be saved. Out of each nation, through the great tribulation, God will have a remnant that will be saved. We're even told in the book of Revelation that those who call upon the Lord in that day will be saved. Again, it reminds us of God's remnant. I'm reminded of Elijah when going through trial and persecution, and he said, Lord, I'm the only one that's left. Where are the rest of them? And God said, I've got 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I'm reminded of Israel in captivity. And there was Ezekiel, Mordecai, Daniel, and all of those are remnants that God had. A remnant returns from captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah and so on. All again reminding us that God has got a remnant preserved. There were even those that were looking for Messiah at the time when he was due to come. God even had a remnant in that time. And remember, for 400 years before Jesus came, Messiah came, they had no voice. They had no prophet. There was a corrupt priesthood, the Pharisees, a terrible time in Israel's history. But look what it says in Luke 2 and verse 38. Luke chapter 2 and verse 38. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And so there we are, Anna bears witness to her Redeemer. So it says that he looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Again, it's a remnant that God has preserved. How about in the church age? There was a remnant that were believing. We know this if we look to Romans, the book of Romans 11, 4 and 5. Romans 11, 4 and 5. Even so then, at the present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. In other words, he's saying there's a remnant today, and you're not saved by works, you're saved by faith. Belief in God's word, and your belief produces the works, not the other way round, which the Roman Catholics teach. So there's a remnant to this day, and that's why we looked at the prophecy of Joel. Let me just remind you again, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. God's setting all of that now in motion under the times of restoration, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. You have to be called. And the only way you know if you're called is by your staying with it, keeping with it, being faithful, keep listening, keep under the anointing, the word of God, and so on. And during the great tribulation, we see, don't we, that as of Israel, there will be some that will be saved. Let's just look here. We're talking today about a remnant that God has. So we can really take comfort from this in Revelation 7, verses 3 to 8. And these are sealed. And it says, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. So that this sealing that God has for Israel, there can be no judgments as such, or wars, or whatever it is, till the sealing has taken place. It's preserved. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, the 144,000 of all the tribes of the church, children of Israel, were sealed. And it goes on, Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, the tribe of Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, all will be sealed. Now, how God does this, it's supernatural, it's miraculous, but he's got them. Else, if he doesn't have this, the whole of Israel will be destroyed. Because remember, the Antichrist is out to destroy Israel, all Jews, all Christians. That is what he will come forth to do. And it's wonderful because it says after that, the multitude from the great tribulation. Here again is another remnant. And after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms, branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And so it goes on. Again, there is another remnant that God has called before the foundation of the earth. There, by the way, the multitude of all the Gentiles that are called a remnant. What does it say in verse 17? For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So that's the woman, the church that is left. Again, a remnant. Now, I believe that what it speaks of there in verse 17, these are ministered to and encouraged by the man-child company, which we know in Revelation 12. And we know in Revelation 12, it speaks of 144,000 there. And they are the special saints. And then we know that there is another remnant that is preserved in Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. These are those that are martyred for the faith. Again, another remnant. Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood upon those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. So there is those that have been martyred, and there is those that will be martyred through the tribulation. So the number is complete of martyrdom, because they're to wait. Again, a remnant. God saving to the utmost. We know that some will be spared to enter the millennial. So there will be a remnant, a few who are left, who will go through when Christ comes to rule and reign on the earth. There will be a few left to go through and multiply, that is in the flesh. Again, a remnant. What about return to the book of Zechariah? Zechariah 12, chapter 12, and verse 6. And what does it say here? In that day I will make the governors of Judah like firepan in the woodpile, and like fiery torch in the sheaves. And they shall devour all the surrounding people on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. So God will deal with all who come against and defile Jerusalem, because that is where the Lord is going to rule and reign. That will be the capital place in the millennium on the earth. And he's going to cleanse it, he says here. How about Zechariah 13 and verse 9? And I will bring one third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. And they will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. So God is going to preserve a third. Here again is a remnant, that Israel will have their eyes open to Messiah, their true Messiah. Because remember, they've been tricked. They've been deceived. They think that the Antichrist is their Messiah. So once their eyes are open, and then at that time, the two witnesses will come. They'll be there helping Israel, helping them to discern that they've been deceived, but the true Messiah is coming. It's all part of God ministering, preserving a remnant. This is why there's so much ministry going on. There's a lot of ministry going on that we don't see, that we don't know about. I would say that a lot of true ministry that's going on, God keeps a lot of it hid for a reason. Because we know what man does. He tries to organize it. He tries to commercialize it and everything, like so much that we see today. We just see a commercial Christianity. Very little holiness attached to it, or the preaching and teaching of the word. It's sensual, it's worldly. And God's true remnant, he doesn't advertise it. He keeps it hid. The same as the man-child, Revelation 12, is hid. That is the wisdom and mind of God, because he knows what flesh does in man, and man's pride. Why does he do this? Because it's for God's glory. This is why often Jesus said when he healed people, don't go away and tell anyone. Don't advertise it. There was a reason for that. Because he knows what human nature does. Let's build a booth. Let's build a monument. Let's build a church on where that blind man saw. Does it sound familiar? That was one of the things that shocked me when I went to Israel and Jerusalem. It was so idolatrous. Oh, this is the place where the blind man saw, and they build some monument or a church or whatever it is. Jesus knew that. That doesn't give glory to God. Let God be God. He knows how to glorify his name. He doesn't need our help. He needs our faith and our obedience. And some of us get it and some of us don't. So there we are. We've revealed to you these scriptures, just some of them. There's many, many of them in the Word of God, where God has got a remnant preserved to himself. And this is why when we get to heaven, we're going to give him all the praise and all the glory and cast our crowns before him. Because he had mercy and grace on us. None of us deserve any of this. You haven't worked for this. You haven't educated yourself for this. You weren't born in some special country or family for this. Not at all. God says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And he has a way in which he works through us, because we are his workmanship. And you are foolish if you try and fight against it. This is why, as I close, we say it so often, it's simply yielding to the Spirit, yielding to what he says, and resist that fighting against him. And eventually, of course, we get it if we keep staying with it. We realize that it is the best thing to do is to yield to God's ways. Because you and I have learned, haven't we, that in yielding, when we finally yield, and so often it is because we're so unhappy, it's been so unfruitful, you've had such an awful time that you're only too pleased to yield to God. But why does it have to take that with us? Why is it we can still be so stubborn, willful, when we know God's ways are right? We know what God is saying is right. Why can we be so stubborn and willful? Well, these are some of the mysteries. This is the work that God is doing in delivering us, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. You know, there are times when you yield over and do it God's way and you think to yourself, gosh, if I had done this 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it would have saved such a waste of time, such hardship. I could have moved on quicker with God and he could have done things in my life for his glory. But there we are. God's still in control and it's no good looking back. We're told to live this day and walk this day with the Lord. What happened yesterday, last week, that's history. You've got to leave it. The most important thing is live today. And if he says come, then this day you come. You don't question. You don't argue. Because he's God. He knows what he's doing. He is sovereign. And why does he do this? Because he has a remnant to himself. God has a remnant unto himself. That's what we have been talking about today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your infinite love and grace and mercy. That, Lord, we believe we are part of your remnant. Father, you don't only have a remnant, but you preserve this remnant. Because we know that we are a target to the powers of darkness. And how often you have preserved us when we could have fatally been injured or even died or gone off course or fall into heresy. Lord, we can simply each of us look back and see how you have kept and preserved us, Lord, unto yourself. And this is why we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you, Father, for the way you've opened up your word today to us and spoken to us. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Cause your face to shine upon them. Bless them. Be with them. Guide them each day, Father. And above all, keep them from the evil one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Let him in constancy follow.